Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Friday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters. And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. They understand it's not just a mortgage, it's your mortgage. That's the difference. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Lot to do in this final hour of the show. A reminder that today is a Target Demo Friday, which means we want to hear what you're doing as you listen to the show, where you're at and how you're listening, where you're at, what you're doing, how you're listening. We'll read through those coming up here on the show. You'll know the thread is the Target Demo Friday thread when you see the meme that Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of WatchDA.com, put together of me as Batman, Mraz as Robin from the old 1960s television show. I have quite the pouch on me. The old Adam West. That's quite a belly. And Mraz, as you pointed out, that's as skinny as you'll ever look.
Look, again, we made all these diet jokes. You want to influence me? Keep showing me the picture of Robin like that. If I could look as svelte as that. Now we're talking.
You also pointed out that with the Robin mask, that looks like the mask that you wear, your sleep mask, on the Long Island Railroad every day coming to and from work.
Oh, yeah. I wear big horse blinders when I go to shut my eyes on the train. You can't have the light shining through. Like, that's the only way to get a good couple winks.
So you're kind of like a housewife from the 80s in a soap opera. You put on the sleep mask.
Yeah, I sleep with it at home, too. I love it. I can't get enough of a sleep mask. I need blackout conditions.
Blackout.
Blackout.
We were talking earlier in the morning about Eli Manning, who will announce his retirement and hold a press conference later on today in about 2 hours from now, about the career. And everybody just boils this down to Hall of Fame or not Hall of Fame. As I pointed out, if that's the only takeaway from Eli Manning's career, it's a disservice to Eli Manning. You know, not every career ends up in the Hall of Fame. And if it doesn't, it doesn't immediately render that career useless. And I think that's been a big problem with the modern sports machine, is that if you have a career, if it's around the Hall of Fame, we have to discuss the guy's credentials, and if you feel like he doesn't belong there, it's about tearing the guy down. It's almost better to be two steps under the Hall of Fame than on the borderline, because then at least you don't have your career constantly torn down for what you didn't do. And anybody that says upon his retirement today that Eli had two lucky throws is just completely ignoring so many other things that he accomplished in his career, including the three wins of the playoffs that led up to those Super Bowls with the quote-unquote lucky throws. And do I think that Eli Manning is going to get into the Hall of Fame? I don't know. Personally, I would not put him in. And that's not to disparage his career, because he had a great career. I just think that the Hall of Fame should have really high standards. And when I look at this generation of quarterbacks, I can only put in so many. From this generation, and let's just say peak, let's take 10 years ago, okay, the 2009 season. If you were in your prime or near your peak at that time, let's take that class. Tom Brady, obviously. Drew Brees, obviously. Peyton Manning, obviously. So now you have three Hall of Famers from that season. Clear-cut legends. Next step down, and this is at the end of Brett Favre's career, so I'm not going to put Favre in there because he wasn't at his peak or in his prime at those years. Kurt Warner was, But again, toward the end of his career. But again, okay, that means there's 4 and 5 Hall of Famers playing in the NFL in 2009. Now, Ben Roethlisberger is going to get in the Hall of Fame. Now there are 6. Are you telling me now with Eli and Phillip Rivers, and let's put Eli in or make the case for him and not Phillip because of the 2 Super Bowl rings, that you're talking about 7 or 8 Hall of Fame quarterbacks in the same league at the same time? Frankly, to me, that seems to be a bridge too far. And so if I were to look at the greatest quarterbacks of this generation, I'm saying it's clearly Brady, Peyton, and Breeze, 1, 2, 3. And right now we know Aaron Rodgers is also getting in. Rodgers is in there. So we can go back to 2009 where he's just starting that ascent. I mean, if those are the 4 best quarterbacks of their era, and then I'm putting Ben Roethlisberger in, that's 5. I can make the case, hey, I don't know if we should be putting in more guys under that or after that. How much of the league is a Hall of Fame quarterback? And I think stats have skewed a little bit because of offensive rules changes. And the ability to quarterback has also grown. I think there's better qualified quarterbacks coming in at a really high level. But again, I mean, over the last 5 years, is there Brady and Breeze and Rodgers and Russell Wilson and Big Ben and Eli? I mean, are we already talking? I just think that there's at some point you have to make a cut, and that's where I would make the cut. I would put Ben in. I would keep Eli out. But if all we're doing is focusing on his Hall of Fame credentials, I think it's misguided today. And ultimately, I actually think he will get in. As for Tom Brady, is there a real possibility he would play for the Las Vegas Raiders? He was seen chatting it up with Mark Davis over the weekend at the Connor fight. Tom Brady, I think it's pretty obvious he wants to at least test the waters and see what's out there. He might come scurrying back to Foxborough, but I think at the very least, there's something about Brady right now that he wants to see what he's worth. And I don't blame him. He's never actually gone on a free agent tour. He's never actually listened to offers and sat across the table from another team or a GM or an owner and gotten the sales pitch. And I got to think that that's kind of nice. I mean, I have to say, I think if I was in Tom Brady's shoes, if I was suddenly a radio free agent, and I got to take meetings with 3 or 4 or 5 different major media companies, and I got to hear them tell me how great I was and all the offers that they have and the money that they would offer and the opportunities and their ideas and where they see my career going, you know, I'd like it. Who wouldn't want that? So I don't blame Tom Brady at all for wanting to finally see what that feels like. Ultimately, I don't know if he's got the stomach to do it. Does he have the stomach to leave and play for a different franchise in an unknown situation for an unknown quarterback in his final year or two in the league? I don't know. You know, he might feel like I've got 1 really good year left, but I don't want 1 really good year to be somewhere else. I might just retire. But I definitely think the lines are starting to be drawn as you hear Robert Kraft kind of continuously go, I'd love to have him back. I'm praying that he comes back. I mean, stop it with that. I pray he's going to come back. Well, if you gave him all the money, he would come back. You don't have to pray. You actually control that. If you gave him all of the money that the Raiders or the Chargers or the Dolphins or somebody else would give him, you get to control whether he's going to come back or not. Also, don't pray for players to re-sign on your team. That's kind of a wasted prayer in my estimation. But the Raiders thing is interesting. They're opening up a brand new stadium. There's going to be a lot of sizzle in Vegas about NFL in that city for the time being. And the Raiders have that old school NFL lore, a Bay Area team for the longest time. And Tom Brady's a Bay Area kid. Now, Brady loved Joe Montana, but there's got to be a little inkling of him that thinks it's curiously cool to consider himself a potential Raider. And I think there's a lot of older veteran players that, especially of Brady's age, late 30s, early 40s, that look at going to Oakland as a cool thing at the end. I don't know if that still is a thing anymore. The Raiders have kind of transitioned out of just having old guys at the end of their career. But if you grew up in the 70s or 80s, which Brady did, that was waving the flag of the Raiders. Your kind of rogue band of aging misfits, if you will, going for one last turn around the bend. We had Joe Theismann on the show not too long ago, and he admitted if he came back after the broken leg, he wanted to come back a Raider. I think that there is a little bit of legitimacy to the idea that Brady would go there, because I think it might satisfy a couple of different boxes. I think the Raiders, despite having Derek Carr, would love the box office bonanza of having Tom Brady. I think Brady feeling like he's a big deal in a new situation, that would be invigorating. Vegas and the Strip and the celebrities and the new stadium, everything feeling new, like a restart, like a reboot, is probably a really cool idea. And there's a Raider thing. There's always been a Raider thing, again, for players and athletes that might be of a certain age. Ending your career in Oakland or with a Raider team has been a little bit romantic for football players for a long time. I think, you know, expecting him to go to the Titans, I don't see it. I do not see that. The Dolphins, I don't see it. I think the two things that I could see, Chargers and Raiders, California, West Coast, new stadiums, new starts, warm weather, big markets. Vegas, not a huge market, but a lot of attention on a market. That would be the two that I could feel. Now, it would be really weird to see him in those uniforms, but those are the two that feels like, okay, if Brady was going to make a dive somewhere else, it would have to be for something really exciting and really new. And Los Angeles with a brand new stadium, or Las Vegas with a brand new stadium, I don't know, Mraz. Those would be the two that I could convince myself that Brady might leave for.
I completely agree. Plus, we have to factor in post-playing career for Brady and Giselle being supermodel, you know, multimillionaire Giselle. Does going to Tennessee check that box? I don't think so. Miami, maybe, for Giselle checks that box. But the idea that potentially his buddies Ben Affleck and company out in Los Angeles playing for the Chargers, well, that checks a box. Has a lot of post-playing career opportunities, but also...
And that's what LeBron just did.
Exactly.
Finishing out his career in Los Angeles.
Exactly. Maybe Brady wants to expand this movie career beyond Ted 2 in that appearance. And the idea of Vegas, which, by the way, not that far from L.A., but everything that comes with the glitz and the glamour and, oh, being the first ever quarterback to quarterback a team in Las Vegas, and it's the silver and black with the Raiders... And both those teams are in the AFC where he feels maybe the rosters are good enough that he believes in himself to elevate and he can go look at Belichick in a playoff game and try to beat him.
Certainly the Chargers roster is good enough to win with.
Right. The only problem with the Chargers roster is a ton of either free agents or retirement. Outside of Derwin James staying there, there's not, you can't hold your hat or hang your hat on anything. I guess Joey Bosa as well, Charger related. The Raiders, say what you want to say, and we laughed at the roster McCookie, the Raiders are two bad losses away from being in the playoffs this year. And maybe Tom Brady looks at that team with all those young first-round picks they had, taking another step, and him being the finishing piece to get them to the postseason. And, oh, how funny would it be if we get a mediocre Pats 10-6 for them wild card team in a snow hosting game versus Tom Brady and the Raiders? For a little Tuck Rule revisited, and there's Brady now winning one for the Raiders to take out Belichick in the snow.
My mind would explode if Tom Brady comes into Foxborough in a Raiders uniform.
Unbelievable.
That would totally blow my mind. Let me throw one other carrot out there for Brady. Brady, I'm guessing, it seems like, is setting himself up for a post-playing career of being a health and wellness guru, expert, what have you. So, diet, health, mental wellness, taking care of your health, aging well. if this is where he wants to go with the TB12 method and trying to use this as a secondary career, a second career, California and Southern California is the place to do this. This is a place where health and wellness is already front and center, where it's warm all the time. People want to look good. They don't want to eat fast food. They want to eat their kale and their avocado. They want to be personal trainers. They want to be on the beach all the time. They want
organic markets are as popular as pizza places in New York.
It would be hard for you to imagine him expanding the TB12 method in middle America. It would be hard. It would be much easier to push that if you are a Los Angeles guy in Southern California. If LeBron wants his fingers in entertainment, then health and wellness, it's a good place to be if you're Tom Brady in Southern California.
Now, counterpoint to that, do we believe that Tom Brady is going to stay on this strict a regimen post-playing career with the health and wellness?
It's a good question.
Why would you do that?
Because he's maniacally disciplined. And if this is his next thing, he wants to feel important. He wants to feel guru-like. You know, I think he really likes looking young. I mean, I honestly think he had some collagen or face tuck or something. He dyed his hair. He might have had implants, his hair implants. This is a thing for him, clearly. So, in Los Angeles, who does more HGH than Hollywood?
Yeah, I guess. This is going to sound really weird. I really don't mean this to be funny and me being the fat guy behind the microphone. I think I will lose some respect for Tom Brady if he sticks to this strict a crazy health regimen post-playing.
You like the Jay Cutlers that just build like a belly right after they retire.
I'm not even saying to let yourself go and look like Terry Bradshaw at 400 pounds. I'm not saying that. Because obviously if he's going to do some Hollywood stuff, you're going to stay in shape. But I'm sorry, you just did all this to strive to continue to play deep into your career. The moment you retire, you're going to continue to not want to dabble at a Haagen-Dazs or some cookie dough ice cream and go with the avocado. I know that sounds funny, but like I think as a human being, I lose respect for you. You've climbed the mountaintop. You're healthy. Nothing. You're not going to go off the rails and biggie size it the rest of your life. I get it. But enjoy your life a little bit after retirement.
What happens if there's pressure to be married to Giselle and you can't kind of let yourself go? Because she always looks amazing.
But there's letting yourself go and there's dabbling. I think he could dabble. What you're talking about, like, if you go and you're the full face of health and wellness and fitness, you can't dabble. Like, there's no...
No, there's no dabble.
No, there's no... You know what? I'll throw a hot dog on the grill today. I had salads all week.
Anti-dabble.
No, you have to stay so strict. I think as a human being, as you approach your 50s, I will lose respect for you as a man if you're Tom Brady.
Non-dabbler. When we come back here on the show... Did Mike Shanahan nearly have the biggest Super Bowl blunder ever off of the field? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Good value, big upside. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Earlier this morning, as Andrew Bogish has reported in multiple updates, Serena lost at the Australian Open to a woman named Wang Chung. And so in honor, and Pete the Body Bilotti have been playing Little Wang Chung this morning. It should be noted, we are not celebrating Serena losing.
Nope.
She's a great American athlete, one of the greatest of all time, perhaps the greatest female athlete ever. We are just using it as an excuse to play Wang Chung.
We are celebrating the foresight of Mr. and Mrs. Wang for naming their daughter something that relates to American pop culture.
Exactly.
So
right.
One day when she pulled off the greatest upset of her career, we could be here to add music to her athletic feat.
Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, sponsored by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work. Get a quote at geico.com. That's easy. So how about this story that Mike Shanahan once nearly lost all of his Super Bowl tickets? Actually, Kyle Shanahan with Mike Shanahan overseeing the family tickets as well. So here's what happened. A couple of years ago, Mike Shanahan was the Falcons offensive coordinator. Shanahan's week began when he attended Media Night. In that game, he was at Media Night, and he had $30,000 worth of Super Bowl tickets for his family, plus the Falcons' offensive game plan. The tickets and the game plan were in a backpack, which somehow went missing while he was doing interviews at Media Night. During an interview, Shanahan was asked about these memories of that night, and it sounded as though the wound still fresh. Quote, "I almost had a panic attack. It was right between my legs. I was sitting on the top part of a chair. It was between my legs. Then when I was done talking to everybody, it wasn't there anymore. There was a backpack there, but it wasn't mine." Although his backpack contained the Falcons' offensive plans for the game, Shanahan was not so concerned about losing that because all the information encrypted on a team-issued tablet, which means even if somebody got their hands on it, hard for them to get the information out of it. But he needed his Super Bowl tickets. "I panicked. I had 48 Super Bowl tickets in there for family members and everything. I was carrying a lot of money from that, a lot of IOUs and stuff. I was very panicked about the tickets and the cash." For 90 minutes, Kyle Shanahan did not know where his backpack was. The whole team left Media Night. That was the Falcons. The Patriots then came in. "I was walking around there looking for my backpack frantically, running into more media people, still having to do interviews past my deal. I was trying not to come off as a jerk by blowing them off, but I was panicked trying to find my backpack. The backpack had accidentally been snatched by Art Spander, a longtime columnist for the San Francisco Examiner, who was covering the Super Bowl at the time, and now, ironically, covers Kyle Shanahan with the Niners. Art ended up coming back with it. I think we found it because the backpack remaining, I opened it and saw his name in there, so people tracked him down. He had my backpack, and I had his." Now, I was at that Media Night. This was a Super Bowl, Mraz, you and I covered in Houston.
I was not there. You went to Houston solo.
Okay. So I was at this Media Night, and this was at Minute Maid Park, home of the Astros. And I remember the Falcons coming in first, and then the Patriots coming in, and how consolidated the space was because they basically just cleared off part of the infield for us to do this. And all the fans came in and were standing around the interior of what would be behind home plate. And there were fans looking for autographs and signs. And then you have the weird, like, Azteca television from Mexico City coming in dressed as ponies.
And the Astros hiding their video equipment.
You had a lot of craziness in the middle of this. And so I could only imagine, and I did not know this, that Shanahan was doing interviews while frantic that he had lost $30,000 worth of Super Bowl tickets and his team iPad. Could you imagine trying to do interviews on Media Night, which is already crazy enough, with that spiraling through your brain? Have you ever lost anything, even for a moment, and your heart absolutely sank?
Yes, my wedding ring, which I never found again.
Where'd you lose it?
I am pretty sure to this day it fell out the window driving Mark Melusis to SNY uptown in the middle of Manhattan.
So it's only appropriate we take over for Taz and the Moose here in the morning.
Right, right. And I went home, and then I was thinking maybe I didn't lose it with my hand hanging out the window because it was loose on me. I thought maybe I lost it at home. And I went 3 days without telling my wife I had lost it, just like hoping she wouldn't notice. And to this day, I barely wear a wedding ring because I got a replacement. I'm always afraid I'm going to lose it. So, but my heart sank because I thought she was going to kill me.
And she was okay?
Yeah, it turns out I didn't know that our ring that I got, she was aware I was probably going to lose it, and it was on file that it was easier replaceable, and I also thought it was really expensive. Turned out it was only $60.
Which is why Danielle's amazing.
Right. I say you found the perfect woman for you because most others would have stabbed you or something by now.
She had bet on him being an idiot.
Right. She has the forethought to buy you a rubber ring that you could lose.
Right, and kept it on file that I could get the exact same one at the jeweler, and I went, it was like, I got to replace, no problem.
Brilliant.
So, yeah.
Brilliant. I once thought I lost my car. I thought it was stolen. Game 5, 2000 Subway Series.
Wow.
I parked my car in the outfield of Shea Stadium. I went solo. My parents bought me that ticket as a gift, and we could only afford one ticket, so I went solo. Mets lose that series. Yankees clinch the World Series.
Yeah.
I hang around at the ballpark later than I should just because it's the World Series, last game of the season, soak it in, didn't know if I would ever see a World Series game again. So I waited for a long time. And so I go out to the ballpark stadium parking lot outside of Shea, and it's, you know, just all sea of parking lot. And where I thought the car was, it wasn't. And there had already been a lot of people that had left. So I'm like, wait a second. I can see where my car is supposed to be, and it's not there. And I walked up and down, up and down, up and down all of those rows saying, where is my car? Before cell phones. I had to then go back in the stadium and call my parents from a security line.
No.
I'm like 21 years old at this point in time. And I'm like, I got to call home. I lost the car. And I go inside and I have to beg a security guard, hey, can I use the phone? I think my car was stolen. And I'm thinking, okay, big event, big stadium event, World Series.
And this is after your Mets have just had their season end losing to the Yankees.
Yeah. And I've got to go inside. I can't find the car. I call my mom. I talk to my dad. And my dad's like, you know what? Just give it another, wait a couple more minutes. Let everything clear out. Maybe it's confusing over there. Just let a lot of cars go. And I'm like, oh, my God. I'm freaking out. I got no money to buy another car. He was right. I let enough time go to where there was only like 10 cars left in the parking lot. And it was two sections beyond where I thought it was. Probably because you go into the World Series and you just... My mind's spaced out. Where did I park my car? I don't know. I'm just trying to get inside that stadium. Thankfully, I found my car. And in retrospect, who would ever steal my car? It was worth no money at that time. None whatsoever. But I, you know, for those 45 minutes, my heart was completely sunk. It was like my life is over.
Now, I've told you my story about that game, right? Because I was at that game, too.
You and I high-fived, didn't know one another, and then would come back together.
It's possible.
As friends.
It's not that romantic. I had a press pass for that game through the Fordham radio station, so I had to go, and you'll remember this, that the Mets played who let the dogs out at the good moments of that postseason run. So I had to go into the Yankee locker room after they just won the World Series against my Mets at Shea Stadium. I'm standing there as they come charging back into the clubhouse. Champagne's flying. They get in a circle, start jumping up and down, and sing Who Knocked the Mets Out.
Ooh, who knocked the Mets out? Who knocked the Mets out? Who?
The most startling part about that is all these years later, we were all singing that and having a blast with them. Even I thought it was catchy for the Mets. And then you find out that song's about really ugly girls in the club.
Is that?
Yes, that's what Who Let the Dogs Out is about.
Oh, to come into the club tonight?
It's about telling your friends there's all ugly girls in the club.
Andrew Bogus is in with the headlines. Good morning, Andrew.
DA, good morning. Antonio Brown in court moments ago answering charges, including felony burglary with battery for Tuesday's alleged altercation with a moving truck driver. Brown was in something called an anti-suicide vest as he stood talking to the judge, who then ordered a $100,000 bail. Brown must also give up his passport, wear a GPS monitor, and get a mental evaluation. Mm. The rest of your headlines are sponsored by the New York Giants. Did things not go well at your last job? Did you get canned after just one season? Did you underachieve for a decade in Dallas? Put that all behind you and coach for us. More info at Giants.com/coachingwithaheart. And on that note, happy Eli Manning Day to you and yours. The retiring Giants QB meets the media at 11 a.m. Eastern. Then the Art Spanders and Peter Schwartzes of the world make the trip from the Meadowlands to Queens.
My baby daddy,
to watch
Peter
the
Schwartz.
Mets introduce new manager Luis Rojas at 3. So the new poll question I present... The free breakfast you get from the Giants, the free lunch you get from the Mets, does that get negated by your gas and toll costs crisscrossing Jersey and New York today?
Actually, doesn't matter. As long as it's free, Schwartz will consider that a win.
Right.
No matter how much he pays in tolls, the free slice at the Fox Thursday night pregame show was worth it.
Yeah. The $1,000 round trip cost negated by his free cookies.
And he will line his bag with the cookies and stuff like that to make sure he feeds the family when he gets home.
MasterCard commercial. $37 in gas, $26.50 in tolls, $32 in parking. Free pizza, priceless.
Roger Federer not the victim of an upset today at the Australian Open. Federer escaping John Millman in a fifth set tiebreaker, winning the final 6 points of that to reach the fourth round. Serena Williams not so lucky, losing in three sets to the 27 seed Wang Chung. Oh, Serena is the one that
sells tickets.
So she was hard on herself post-match for committing 56 unforced errors. This is the earliest Serena has been knocked out down under since 2006. 15-year-old Coco Gauff took out Naomi Osaka, who won this event last year, and Caroline Wozniacki lost. She now retires. LeBron James is an all-star captain. Teammate Anthony Davis voted a starter for his game, or this game, I should say, in his hometown.
I only go there once a season, so to go back there for a second time, go all-star and play in front of my friends and family is going to be great.
Now, James and Davis are all-stars from the West. You also have James Harden, Kawhi Leonard with them as well. And there's my script. It disappeared for a second. Sorry about that. I don't want to blame technology and pass the buck. Like
no,
Sean only what, but my machine froze for a second.
What is
those two of them also won in Brooklyn last night, 128-113. LeBron had 27 points. He now needs 18 to pass Kobe for third all time. Now, LeBron is one captain. The other captain, of course, is...
My name is Giannis Antetokounmpo.
That is the actual Giannis, and that is the way to say it. We'll let him finish things off correctly. Joel Embiid, Kemba Walker, Trae Young, and Pascal Siakam also voted starters from the East. And again, it's Leonard, Harden, Doncic, plus LeBron and Anthony Davis. Laker head coach Frank Vogel will also coach LeBron in the All-Star game. Ed Orgeron getting paid after LSU's national title, a fresh six-year deal worth over $42 million, reportedly coming for Orgeron, who has lost both coordinators and his Heisman Trophy winning QB in the last 2 weeks.
That's a lot of ham sandwiches.
College hoops, number 12, Oregon fought off USC 79-70. In OT, in Eugene, Ducks guard Peyton Pritchard, 24 points, 7 assists, to become the first in Pac-12 history with 1,500 points, 600 assists, and 500 rebounds. And we had the Pro Bowl Skills Gala yesterday in Orlando. Today, we get the NHL version in St. Louis.
Much
now,
better.
You know most of those events, hardest shot, fastest skater. There's a new event this year. Mm-hmm. Players will be on platforms. Those platforms will be behind each goal, 30 feet in the air, and they will be shooting down at targets on the ice to accrue points. I swear.
Great. So it's like they're in deer stands hunting.
Basically.
Nice.
Firing down onto the ring to hit moving targets.
That sounds safe.
And entertaining.
Thank you, Andrew.
See you Monday.
Giant Stadium parking, $80. Lincoln Tunnel toll, $16. New York Guardians season tickets, $400. A free pretzel from the press box, priceless.
My baby daddy, Peter Schwartz.
Our Ask the Pros question of the day brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Once again, O'Reilly Auto Parts brings you your question of the day. Think O'Reilly for all of your car care needs, guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service, better parts, better prices every day. Jim in Tampa says, DA, I see that the Wizard of Watch DA is putting out gifts all morning long. I love these. What makes the perfect gift? Well, I'm glad you asked that. These are short videos, digital videos with no sound that Cap has been drawing from footage of the DA show and putting them out all morning on Twitter. They're absolutely amazing. If you just search the hashtag DA gifts, you will have all of them in a row, and you could use them, retweet them for things that you're reacting to on Twitter. They're just hysterical. And I think the perfect GIF is when there's dancing or a dramatic motion, and it could be used for a lot of different things. It's not specific. So, like, we have one now where we're all dancing together, and it could be for any moment of happiness. And Cap has included the caption, when you find your car that you thought was stolen. But that could be when your favorite team wins a big game, or when you realize that dinner was ready, or you found a $5 bill on the street, or something like this. There's a couple where Mraz is kind of sheepishly looking around after licking the bottom of a peanut butter bag. Yes, a peanut butter bag. I don't even know what that is, but it's kind of like Winnie the Pooh licking the bottom of the honey jar. And it's just kind of perfect because it could be used in so many different scenarios.
I liked putting my face. It was just, it was nice. It was peanut butter in there. It was supposed to be used for an apple. So I spread an apple, and then I had a nut bag left I was licking.
Mark that. So the perfect GIF, use the hashtag DAGIFs, because you'll see Mraz licking the perfect nut bag there. When we come back, we've got your Target Demo Friday. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
It's a three-hour black hole block party. Here's what our listeners are doing as they connect to the mothership.
Daniel tweets, I'm in Ohio waiting for my trailer to be loaded, listening on Sirius XM 206. Little wet, little drippy out here.
Pardon me, my foot. I'm a little wet, a little drippy.
Dave tweets, in your sales pitch about the show, don't forget the show also has good burgers.
Good burgers.
The Silver Fox tweets, if I had three words to describe the show this morning, hilarious, stimulating, and my final word, the DA showed the human-faced mutated goat of the sports talk world, yet revered by decidedly odd fans.
I don't even have a job, Damien.
Three. Groot tweets, is the DA show black lung shaming Jody Mack? Adam tweets, I'm driving to work in York, PA. Ate some string cheese last night. Might have gotten polio. Let the weight loss begin.
Chubbo. One polio stick a day.
Dalton tweets, it's Dalton and Tommy here. Check it in from Sacramento while we drive to Salinas, California. Salinas. HVAC guys building a habit burger. Our local radio station, Sports 1140 KHTK. Can we get beamed up onto the mothership? Jamie tweets, I'm in Boise in my car on the way to work. Great job, KTIK. You were joining us the other afternoon, live and local. Love that you called in on the local show. Keep crushing it, guys.
Puffiness with sodium.
That was fun to come on with my good friends on KTIK in Boise. Alien OG, morning mothership. I'm here in Lawrence, Kansas, listening to my CBS Sports app at work, printing Free State beer labels all day, feeling a little under the weather, hopefully not coming down with a polio cheese virus. Hashtag beam me up.
One polio stick a day.
William tweets, I'm on the CBS Sports app in Pittsburgh.
Oh, okay.
That's Shane Mraz.
Kevin tweets, I'm listening at work in Auburn, Maine on radio.com. The three of you guys make the mornings the best part of the day. Hashtag amen. Amen bogus or boogeraz or amen bur. Amen burro. And but what?
I'm not on Twitter or Facebook right now.
What is you at all?
Kaz and Wisco is working in the lab in Wisconsin, listening to the radio.com app. Excited to start the professor's diet today. My first dish I'm whipping up is a polio cheese pizza on boblio crust. Hashtag you need to eat like this.
You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
Derek's in Pittsburgh, listening on Apple Music, loving the morning mothership of the new layout of the show. Have a good weekend, gents. Hashtag compete level 10. Hashtag I have a weird waist.
What you think about that, DA?
Boblio.
Lonnie tweets, this is awesome. I'm at work listening to the mothership as you're talking about Wang Chung tonight. What's on the radio? You guessed it, Wang Chung tonight.
Oh, okay. Everybody Wang Chung tonight.
Upside Down Mike is in his hometown in Mraz's of West Babylon, New York, listening on Sirius XM, channel 206, listening to the mothership while running around doing errands and having a grand old time doing it. Hashtag, it clears it.
I got a candidate for the 12 DAs, okay?
I have a weird waist.
Eric is in Vegas, DA, listing on radio.com. Sorry, he's in Tulsa, Oklahoma, rather. At the gym, starting the polio cheese and cookie diet today in preparation for beach season. Hashtag cheese on cheese on cheese on cheese.
Good morning. How are you?
One polio stick a day.
Stacks tweets, I'm in Wooddale, Illinois, making popcorn machines. Hashtag we keep it popping using the radio.com app.
I don't even have a job, Damien.
I have a big wiener in my hand.
On Facebook, Anthony writes, what up, DA? Can I get a beam? CBS Sports app in Boise, feeding my 10-week-old son. Hashtag you need to eat like this. Tom is on 1240 AM in Youngstown, still doing the mental gymnastics to determine how mashed potatoes are any better for us than French fries. Hashtag you need to eat like this.
You need to eat like this.
Brandon, good morning, DA. Can I get a beam up? Listening on the CBS Sports app in Tacoma, headed to work and ready for a fun-filled week with my kids in Madden 20. Hashtag all right.
All right.
French fried.
Brent is on Facebook. I changed my work hour so that I could tune in on watchda.com for the beginning. You helped start my work day and I leave earlier.
Oh, okay.
It's cheese on cheese on cheese.
Thank you very much. That is your Target Demo Friday. What is our epic fail this morning?
Epic fail is you have a problem with Wang Chung tonight because it's not actually the name of the tennis player.
Yes, it was, I believe, Wang Chung.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
Now, last hour, sorry to interrupt, but you called the person that defeated Serena Williams Wang Chung.
Did I give it a little more
here
correct?
It was Wang Chung. Okay. Now, that doesn't necessarily lead us directly into everybody Wang Chung tonight, if it's Wang Chung.
It's W-A-N-G Chung. If I didn't give the right emphasis this time, I apologize.
Peter Man in here.
But if you need something closer to Wang Chung than Wang Chung, then you are an unbelievable taskmaster.
I think you know I need something closer to Wang Chung.
We're off by like a half of a beat on a syllable.
Bing it a bang it a boom dong doom ding jung.
That's not good enough for you? You must find me an actual Wang Chung?
I'm just saying, if you say Wang Chung,
it's a donkey.
Doesn't necessarily make you think of the song Everybody Wang
Chung. It doesn't. Wang Chung tonight. Yeah, you're way off.
So, Wang Chung makes you think of Wang Chung?
Yes.
The muscle that is your mouth is just yapping.
Yes, it does. It's the same spelling. If you read it, you would say, if you read that tennis score, you would say, everybody's Wang Chunging tonight.
The scientist.
You wouldn't be worried that it's Wang?
I don't think it's Wang Chunging. Duty twice. No.
Everybody went chung tonight. Everybody went chung tonight.
It sounds like a verb, so you can make it Wang Chunging.
Does Wang Chung sell tickets, though? That's what I need to know here.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
And we wrap up with our poll question of the day. Do DA and Bogish fat shame Mraz? 57% on Twitter say yes. 57% on Twitter. 56% on Facebook say yes. Devastating returns for Bogish and myself.
For me, it's intense gas over and over.
By the way, deep analytics here on the DA show. 79% of our followers on Facebook are homeowners.
All right.
Okay.
How about that? Not big with the renting community.
54% have completed high school.
What you think about that, DA?
So the 46% big fans of me.
What a week that was. It had it all, didn't it? Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer, picket line crosser, and sidekick of the DA show. Thanks to Pete the Body Bilotti on the Wheels of Steel and director of all things audio. Thanks to Andrew Kaplan, the wizard of WatchDA.com, waving that wand with gifts today. And thanks to Andrew Bogish on your headlines. I'm DA. I'll see you for Sunday morning football. The Mothership disconnects.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.